Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Christian Fellowship this morning and to 2016. We're glad you made it to both. Hope you are as well. It's an election year. How many of you are glad that's finally come around? I thought we've already been through an election, one election year. I thought it had been over by now, but no, we're just at the beginning of the election year, and we got another 11 months of election campaigning, and, It was entertaining for a while, but now it's just boring. And there's a scripture Jesus teaches I think it's in Matthew's gospel. He's teaching about giving, and he talks about not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And what he's talking about in that verse of scripture, of course, is just secrecy and not being proud and arrogant to where your giving is concerned and letting other people know and all this kind of, just keep it secret. And I think Washington has taken that verse to an extreme, and the left hand doesn't let the right hand know what it's doing, and it's just a whole lot of mess and confusion up there, and it'll take the return of the Lord, I think, to finally get it all straightened out. But anyway, we've got another 11 months of campaigning going on, 10, 11 months, and then we get probably about 2 months off till they kick off campaign 2020, and we go through it all again. But anyway, praise the Lord. Turn the TV off if it bothers you. Probably the best thing to do in the first place. Let's pray together as we get into our Bible study for this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. Your word tells us, Father, that every day is a new day, a new opportunity for us. Your mercies are new every morning. We thank you for that. We thank you for this beginning of the new year and what it means to each of us. We pray, Father, for your strength and your grace, your peace, your joy, your purpose for each of our lives in this year. And Father, as I share the word that I believe you put in my heart for today, I ask, Lord, the Holy Spirit's help in delivering this message and to encourage the body of Christ and the precious brothers and sisters of our little church to be about kingdom business in the year that comes. So, Father, we pray for the anointing of your Spirit. We pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray, Father, for a heart that is willing to do the things of God. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is the beginning of the new year. And, for most of us, the beginning of the new year marks time of New Year's resolutions. And we make new plans. And we realize there's things about our life that we need to change. Most people, at the beginning of a new year, we'll make a resolution this year. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to get more exercise. I'm going to live a healthier life. And we do all these things. I was out this, I've been out the last 2 days walking out on Enterprise Drive as I do. I go past the Y, and boy, you know, there's all kind of cars around the Y this time of year. Give it till about, you know, April or May when the weather warms up. You won't see so many cars anymore. But, you know, a lot of people have made that New Year's resolution that we're going to get better, get stronger, get healthier, and all these kind of things. That's good, by the way. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but we tend to make resolutions like that, and it doesn't take very long until, we make that resolution until somebody slips that first piece of cheesecake in front of us, and then we think, oh, well, maybe next year, you know, and we'll try again. But spiritually speaking, as Christians, a lot of people this time of year will make that resolution. This is going to be the year that I read the Bible all the way through. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that resolution. The problem is that reading the Bible in that fashion is a very difficult thing to do. Particularly, it doesn't take very long. You get into the second book and you get into Exodus, and God begins to give us all of the intricate little details of everything that the temple was made of, the tabernacle, the portable tabernacle, and the sizes and the material and all this kind of stuff. And most of it doesn't mean anything in the world to us, and it just, you know. And we figure, what's the use, and we give up, and we, well, maybe next year will be the year. Well, and that's a good resolution, by the way. And let me encourage you again. We have some devotionals on the back table back there to help you read through the Bible, if that's what you want to do, or just to read certain passages. And I would just encourage you along this line. I'll get to it in a minute. To get into the Word in some way, in some shape or form, in this new year. I've got my Bible marked. I've got three different places marked in my Bible. I've got an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, and then I got a bookmark stuck in the middle of Psalms and Proverbs in that area. The reason I do that is because even as a pastor, I don't always make the time that I ought to read the Bible every day. Hey, I'm just being honest with you, okay? And sometimes I'll fall behind and I'll forget what I was reading in Joshua or something like that. Or I'm in a hurry. I haven't got time to read my portion for today out of Luke. And so, but I feel like I need to read something. And so I flip over to Psalms or Proverbs, because every chapter in the book of Psalms is independent. You just read one psalm, 10, 12 verses, whatever, and you've read a portion of that day, for that day. You receive a message from the Lord of some kind of teaching. Proverbs, when you get over to the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs, from the 10th through the rest, the next 21 chapters, most of the book of Proverbs, every couple of verses is the nugget of truth that God is speaking to us. So you don't have to read a lot to get something. And I'm trying to encourage you today, don't place a law on yourself. I've got to sit down and I've got to read X number of chapters, or I've got to read X number of minutes every day. If you have that kind of discipline, you're able to do that, that's wonderful. But if not, at least pick up the Bible, flip it over to Psalms, and just read Psalm 1. Let's read Psalm 1 every day if you have to. You can feed for a while on Psalm 1, okay? There's a lot there. And I just want to encourage you to get into the Word, because the Word of God is our source of strength. It's the foundation of our faith. It teaches us about who God is, what His will is for our life, what He is willing to do for us. And listen, we can't claim promises from God if we don't know what the promises are. And so we've got to get into the Bible and study the Scriptures, and it's going to be the source of a brand new life. The Bible tells us that there's life in the Word of God. In fact, what I want to do with you this morning, and as I look at this morning, I typically have more than I can get out in a message. This is probably going to be at least a two-part message this morning. I hope to get everything said this morning, but I won't, I'm sure. But what I want to do is just share with you this morning, probably next week as well, I want to share with you about five resolutions that I believe God wants us to make and that God wants to help us keep as we learn to live more faithfully for Him. And so let me just share these with you this morning, and we'll get as far as we can. These are resolutions that as we live according to these things are going to change our lives, okay? We're going to become new people as we get into the Word and we begin to do these things that God tells us to do. We're going to be changed. We're going to be different. And then you know what? Once we are different, then we can make a difference for somebody else. How many of you want your life to count for something? All of us do in our heart. We all want our lives to mean something. We want our lives to count for something, to have a real purpose and real meaning behind it. And when we discover what our purpose is and we begin to live and walk in that purpose, then we can help other people find their purpose and we can make a difference in other people's lives as well. And so really that's what these five things I want to share with you over the next week or two are all about. It's about changing our lives so that we can have an influence and help change somebody else's life and help them find God, help them find their purpose in this life. So here we go. Resolution number one. Be it resolved that in 2016, we are going to live by faith in God. Now, most of you think, oh, wait a minute, Pastor, I already live by faith in God. And I would venture to challenge you on that statement this morning. Because the reality is that most of us don't live by faith in God day to day. We don't really have a need to. Most of us have good paying jobs. Most of us have good health. Most of us have everything that we need in this life and a whole lot more. And on a day-to-day basis, most of us don't really have a need or see a need for God's activity and involvement in our lives. And so we don't spend time in the Word. We don't spend time in prayer. We don't really feel a need often to do these kinds of things. And we are not really spiritually minded. We're not really aware of the presence of God. I suspect most of us think of God as that creator who is way off somewhere out there in the universe. And one day we'll go to be with Him when we leave this world. Well, God is certainly out there, but God is also in here. And if you're a believer in the Lord, He's also in here. And He's always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, the Bible says. But we're typically not consciously aware of the presence of the Lord. And so here's what I want us to do. This year, 2016, I want us to make the genuine effort to be more spiritually aware and consciously aware of the presence of the Lord with us everywhere we go, no matter what it is. Well, that'll change you right there, won't it? I guarantee you, if you're aware, if you really believe that God is with you all the time, you'll probably stop going some of the places you go. You'll probably stop doing some of the things you do. Because if you realized God was with you when you were doing it, you'd take a couple steps back, wouldn't you? See? So we're going to be consciously aware of the presence of God with us at all times. And we're going to trust the Lord and we're going to seek the Lord and desire to do His will. That's really what living by faith is all about. It's finding out what God wants for our lives and then doing what God says. That's faith. Faith is not telling God what we want and then, you know, believing He's going to give it to us. That's not faith. That's borderline manipulation if you want to know the truth about it. Faith is finding out what God wants us to do and then doing what He says to do. That's faith. That's faith. So we're going to make a choice that in 2016, we're going to live by faith. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And what that means is we're not moved by the circumstances of our lives. We're going to be moved by what God says. Most of the time, we are moved in a negative way by the circumstances of our life. Bad things happen to all of us. It's just a fact of life. It's a fact of being human. It's a fact of living in this world. Bad things happen, okay? There's just no blanket promise from God that when you come to me, you'll never have another bad day. Wish there was. Sorry to break your heart. It's not true. But bad things happen to all of us. But here's the thing. When we begin to live by faith in God, rather than seeing those bad things as bad circumstances, here's what we need to do. We need to have a change of mind because now we're living in faith and we're trusting God. We need to see those negative circumstances instead of bad things, as new opportunities. Every negative thing that happens to you in your life is another opportunity for God to show Himself strong in your life. And the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Chronicles that the eye of the Lord roams throughout the earth looking for someone to whom He can show Himself strong. God wants to do great things in our life. God wants to show favor in our lives and blessing in our lives. But the Bible makes it clear that the primary way that these things happen for us is by our believing. God is certainly a sovereign God, and God can do anything He wants to do anytime He wants to do it, and He doesn't need your permission or mine. But the truth of the matter is that most of the time when God moves in our life, it's because we have positioned ourselves through faith and obedience to open our heart for God to do something. That's why in the Gospels, Jesus would do miracles. And then He would turn to the person that had received the miracle and He would say, your faith has made you well. Your faith has set you free. Your faith has saved you. Be it done to you as you have believed or according to your faith. He's making the point that He has all the power necessary to do anything, to make any change that needs to be made in our lives. But what He does in our life is going to be conditional based on our willingness to believe and trust in Him. And so we need to make a purpose this year in 2016 that we are going to live by faith. It means we're going to be more consciously aware of the presence of the Lord, trusting in Him to keep His word. Again, that implies that we're going to be students of the word, because you can't trust Him to keep the word if you don't know what the promise is. You don't know what the word is. Okay. We're going to live by faith. It means we're going to be positive. We're going to be hopeful. We're going to have expectation. How can we not? If we really believe in God, how can we not be hopeful and have great expectation of a God who spoke all of the universe into being merely by speaking words. The power is certainly sufficient there to fix or solve any problem that you and I ever encounter in life. How can we not be hopeful unless it's because we're also doubtful that God really cares, that God really loves, that God will really do anything for us? And I just promise you today, guys, the Bible makes it clear that God is on our side. God is for us and not against us. And His desire is to show Himself strong in our lives. And so if we're going to live by faith, we're going to be positive. We're going to be hopeful. We're going to be expectant of seeing good things from the hand of our good and gracious Heavenly Father, our God who is good all the time. So resolution number one, we're going to live by faith. We're going to live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The righteous man shall live by faith. Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul says our journey is supposed to be a faith journey. Step by step, expecting God to meet us every step of the way and to be there and to bless and to provide and care for us as His children. Resolution number two. Number one, we're going to live by faith. Resolution number two, we're going to walk in love. We're going to walk in love. Let me just read for you from Ephesians chapter 5 real quick, just a verse or two here. See if I can find it for you real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators. Well, you got to go back and see what you're there for, don't you? Let's go back up a couple of verses into the fourth chapter. In verse 30, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. In other words, what he's telling us there, first of all, as children of God, we need to imitate our Heavenly Father. Our Father who loves the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is love, John tells us in 1 John. So if we're going to be imitators of our Heavenly Father, we're going to learn how to walk in love as God loves. And we're going to have to learn how to love people the way God loves us and the way God loves people. Okay? Let's look over at 1 Corinthians. Turn over there with me and let's just identify this love that we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. This is the way God intended for man to relate to one another from the very beginning. Now, we messed that up in the Garden of Eden thousands of years ago when we let sin enter into our world and into our lives. But up until then, the point was to live in communion with God and therefore live in communion with one another. And as we share love with the Father, we share love with one another. And isn't that the great commandment that Jesus, they came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest of all commandments? He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord, He is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being, and your neighbor as yourself. And what he's telling us is this, that when we love God, we have that relationship with God the way it's supposed to be, then that flows between us and God will very naturally flow between us and people. And we'll love people the way that we're supposed to love people and the way that God loves people. And God defines that love for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, Paul says this, and this is love. See, love according to the Bible is not that emotional thing that we think love is in this world. In fact, we've so skewed the whole idea and understanding and definition of love in our world today. It's We think today, in our world today, in our politically correct world today, we think that if you love somebody, that means you have to agree with everything they do. And if you don't agree with everything that they do, that's the evidence that you really hate that person. That's just dumb. That's just dumb, okay? I don't have to agree. I hope you don't have to agree with me on everything that I do or everything that I believe in order to love me. Because if that's the case, you won't be able to love me. Because I'm sure we disagree on something somewhere, see? So if we're disagreeing and that means you can't love, well, that's just nonsense. And we're supposed to love each other in spite of our differences with one another, okay? That's why the Bible says, listen, and it's this same word, love, is used in all of these places. Listen, it says this. It says, we're to love one another, okay? And then it says, we are to love our neighbor, okay? And then it says, husbands, love your wives, okay? And then it goes on to say, and you are to love your enemies. It's the same word, love. It's the same word, love. And he's talking about an attitude of heart that we're supposed to have toward people, one of kindness, one of compassion, not means. Well, let's just define it here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. It says, love is patient. Love is kind and gentle, and it's not jealous. Love does not brag, and it's not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. That means love's not rude. Love's not mean-spirited and rude and hateful. It does not seek its own. Love is not selfish. Love puts other people ahead of self. Love submits to other people. It's not provoked. That means it's not touchy and fretful. Oh, isn't that the description of the world we live in today? Man, you can't say anything without hurting somebody's feelings, without offending somebody. Well, I saw a thing on Facebook not too long ago, and the meme said, well, I wonder what America's upset about today. I wonder what my neighbor is offended about today. That's just who we are anymore. Anything anybody says that we disagree with, we just immediately jump to being offended. That's not love. You know, we've got to be willing to accept our differences and recognize we're not going to see everything exactly alike and agree with everything. But it doesn't mean I've got to hate you over it. We don't have to fight about it. We can still love each other in spite of our differences. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered, Paul says here. That simply means this: love forgives. Love lets go of offense. Okay? This is love, guys. This is the kind of love we're supposed to show to one another, to our neighbor, to our enemies. We're supposed to, it says here in verse 7, love bears all things. That means it stands up. It believes all things. That means it's willing to give the benefit of the doubt to people. How many times do people say things and we immediately assume the worst about that person, or we assume they mean the worst by what they've said? And particularly you people that live in the world of texting and all that kind of stuff. I'm just getting into that, and I just, and you can just, you say things so quickly, so briefly in a text, and sometimes it can come across so bluntly that people just immediately get offended by what you texted to them, and you're just trying to, you know, say something. But it's who we are. It's who we are in human nature. People just jump, we jump to the wrong conclusion. We're touchy and we're resentful and all of these things. And we're not willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. Love hopes all things. It always has hope. And love endures all things. That means love doesn't quit. Love doesn't run out. Love doesn't cease. We're just going to keep on loving no matter what the circumstances are. We're not going to hold a grudge. We're not going to hold on to bitterness. We're going to give the benefit of the doubt. It means when we love, it means we're going to be givers of ourselves. As God is a giver, if we're going to walk in love, we're going to be givers. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 says this, but whoever has the world's goods, well, let me start in verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He says, this is what love looks like. Love sacrifices itself for the benefit of somebody else. That's love. And then he says in verse 17, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? In other words, if we see people in need and don't do anything, we have the means to provide and do something about the need in that person's life, and we just stand back and we just don't care. There's no way that's the love of God. Love cares. Love gets involved. Love steps up. Love does something to help other people. And this is the kind of thing that God is calling us to do, as particularly as the body of Christ. We're to be lovers of one another, lovers of our friends and neighbors, lovers of people that we work, just lovers of everybody, just always having care, always having compassion, always showing kindness, always demonstrating the love of the Lord. Love gives of itself. And yeah, love gives of its finances. Ed shared the things that were some of the things that we support in our ministry here. And thank God that over the years, you know, we've positioned ourselves where we don't owe anybody anything on any of the property, buildings, or anything, so that we pay a few expenses with the tithes and offerings that come to the church, but a large percentage of the money that we receive, we're able to give it to other people who are in need and support other ministries. Like the Martins over in Ethiopia, ministering to the Muslims over there. Like Mike Keyes in the Philippines, preaching the gospel in that region of the world. The Moylans that Ed mentioned, and the others that we support in our church. We support over a half a dozen different ministries. Samaritan's Purse, the Franklin Graham's Relief Agency that takes relief supplies, but more than relief supplies, most importantly, the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And we're able to support all of these ministries in the field, in addition to running our Victory House ministries over here, the Operation School Supply, the Heritage Elementary School, feed the guys down at the Gateway once a month, all of these kinds of things. All of these things are possible because of the tithes and offerings that you bring to Victory Christian Fellowship, your willingness to give and to support the work of the ministry and to show and demonstrate the love of the Lord. Well, that's only two of the five, and my time is out. And let me tell you why I'm saying the time is out. You looked at your clock and you said, well, it's not on but 10 minutes too. I want to close our service today a little differently than what we normally do. We're going to pick up here and we'll just pick up this message at this point next week and share with you the last three things next Sunday of these five resolutions for us to walk in as believers in this new year. I want to do something a little bit differently though this morning as we bring our service to a close. And being that this is the first Sunday of the new year, I want us to believe God together for God to turn things around in our lives, okay? And no matter what the issue or situation is, typically most of us are facing something, going through something, struggling with something. Hey, let's face it, all the time there's something that comes up. It's the nature of living in this world. Like we do. We live in a fallen world that the Bible tells us is ruled by our enemy, and there's always strife and chaos and stress and anxiety and problems, and sometimes their health, and sometimes they're emotional, and sometimes they're marital, and sometimes they're financial, and all of these kinds of things. Sometimes they're spiritual. All of these kinds of things. And we struggle with things. All of us battle all of these kinds of things because it's just the human condition in this world. And I thought it would be good for us today, being that this is the first Sunday of the new year, I thought it would be good for us this morning to start our service, to start our year, with just a special time of prayer together. And I just am asking you to give me the liberty of praying over you this morning concerning those special things that you're going through. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm just going to give a series of invitations for you to come up to the front and allow me to pray over you. I'm not going to ask anything specific of you whatsoever, okay? You don't need to share a word or anything with me about what's going on. If you will just respond as I give an invitation to you this morning. And I will take the opportunity to just pray over you concerning that particular area of your life. And please, listen, we all go through things. Please don't let pride keep you from coming and receiving prayer ministry this morning. Don't let the enemy cause you to be too proud so that you miss what God wants to do for you this morning. I believe God wants to do something special in our lives this morning and as a church family. And I want to take the privilege, to have the opportunity and the privilege this morning to just take a few moments to pray over you about the issues that you're facing in your life. It's between you and God. But I want to have the opportunity to pray and ask God's favor for your life in that area. So why don't we, well, I'll tell you what, we may be here for just a few minutes doing this, so let's don't stand right now. But let's do this. Let's have an attitude of prayer. If you can give me some music back there. And we'll just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And let me do this. Let's all bow our heads for prayer. As I'm praying for people who come, you can be praying for the people who come. You can be praying for other needs that you may be aware of, whatever they might be. But let me do this morning. Let me ask, first of all, for those of you that are battling with any kind of physical infirmity. It may be something that is small and new. It may be something that's old and you've been wrestling with it for a long time. I just believe God wants us to be in prayer together for God to make 2016 the year that He turns things around for all of us. And again, it's done to us according to our faith. But I want the privilege of interceding with you and for you about those needs in your life. So let's start right there this morning. If there's a physical ailment or infirmity of any kind, maybe we've prayed with you before. So Jesus said, pray and keep on praying.